Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always here in the studio by my good friends Ronald Martin and Barnabas Piper. Boys, we've got another sponsorless episode today, man. There's a little hole in my heart, to be honest. A little void in my life without sponsorship.
In my bank account too.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I kind of got used to the excess of being, you know, a sponsored podcast host. I walked a little taller, like the world looked a little bit brighter to me. So I don't know, man, this feels strange. I don't know how you guys
feel. It's good to go through some of the down times because it really makes you appreciate the up times. I mean, it's like being an unemployed actor, you know, it makes that next job that you get just seem that much more significant. So it's probably good for us, but that doesn't mean we don't want more sponsors. So listeners, if you run a small business or just want to throw money at us,
gigantic mega company.
Yeah, or if you like, say, run Red Wing Boots and wanted to sponsor us, or you know you have friends in their marketing department or something, we would love to do that.
We would love to do that, and we would love to get sponsored again so that we can walk tall, you know, once again and show our faces in public. But boys, we soldier on this program. That's just what we do because we're pros. And we've got three things to talk about as per the usual. And in pipe, this first one, this was something that you wrote about very well, I might add, on World Magazine. And this concerns an incident that happened in the NBA on the LA Lakers. But that's really neither here nor there. It's more about just sort of the secrets that men will keep for one another, kind of referred to as bro code. And what happened was on the Lakers, there was a guy who's engaged to a pretty huge famous pop star, apparently had cheated on her several times. And another guy videotaped his, you know, some conversation to that end and let people know about it. And the word was that he had sort of violated the bro code of the locker room. So, boys, what do you make of this, man? Is bro code a real thing? Was this guy out of line for publicizing, you know, maybe something that should have been kept private, or was he in the right for doing that? So, boys, fire away. Big R, what do you think about this?
Oh, man. I think we should let Piper kind of lead off on this. I mean, are we talking about – does this go back to us being like, you know, elementary schoolers and not tattling? Is it akin to that kind of loyalty that we're talking about?
Well, it's like it's that combined with the gangster's mentality of don't snitch. Like snitch is the worst thing you can be. So like even if somebody was your enemy, you can respect them for not being a snitch, that kind of thing. But no, the thing that so a little bit of context on this is this video was leaked that D'Angelo Russell, this rookie player, filmed of Nick Young talking about his flings with other women, not his fiance, and the backlash came back against Russell, the guy who took the video. Now, he swears he didn't release it. Rumor has it an ex-girlfriend of his stole the video and released it. That's kind of insignificant. But what I've seen on like ESPN and from former players and social media and then the rumors of kind of how things played out in the Lakers locker room is that Russell is the bad guy for releasing the video, with almost nothing being said, or maybe like a cursory sort of nod to the fact that cheating on somebody's fiance is not a very good thing to do. And so that was the thing that just like it stuck in my craw, was that there is a betrayal here and it's cheating on somebody. Mm. Posting a video of it is not a betrayal, it's stupid. Like it is an immature, dumb thing to do. But you can't just gloss over the fact that like if Nick Young hadn't cheated, there wouldn't have been a video to post.
Yeah, for sure. And fellas, let's just be abundantly clear before we continue. I mean, there's nothing funny or ha ha at all about adultery and about, you know, a guy cheating on his fiance. That being said, I will I think I'm going to play the devil's advocate here a little bit, Pipe, and just say, you know, I think we live in this rampant information age, right, where everything's being videotaped and archived and photographed and shared all over the place. And, you know, while in no way, absolutely no way do I condone what Nick Young was up to in terms of his relationships with these women. I also think that there should be a little bit of sanctity is the wrong word, but I don't know. There should be a place where these kind of conversations can be had without cameras and without, you know, kind of without risk of leaked information. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I agree completely with that. Like, I think two wrongs were done here, and the wrong that Russell, the guy who took the video, did compounded the first one, but it wasn't the wrong, and then the other thing is fine. I mean, I know that's not what you're saying. I mean, this whole sort of theme of man code or bro code, the idea that like guys keep each other's secrets and stuff like that, when it's done right, is what you're talking about. It's a context where real conversations can be had with the proper amount of I don't know if secrecy is the right word, but just sort of like in a circle of trust, to quote Meet the Parents. You know, so you have guys you can talk to, and you know that word's not going to get out. But in an instance like this, I feel like it's the friend's responsibility to say, look, I'm not going to go public with this, but if you don't go tell her, I have to go tell her, because there's broken trust there. So, but when this bro code thing becomes something that is basically a cover up for whatever sexual indiscretion somebody wants to have, then, I mean, to me, that looks really bad on guys as a whole, because it's like, whoa, 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 I don't want any part of a man code that plays that game.
Absolutely.
You know, it's weird. It's like a commentary, though. This is the part that interests me. It's a commentary on the fact that it's so much easier for everybody to dive on the guy that snitched than the guy that cheated. You know what I mean? Like, yes. So there's something in us, there's something in our flesh that wants to back away from condemning the person that was snitched, that, you know, that wants to condemn the guy that actually didn't do the larger, greater crime. You know, we want to back away from that. We want to somehow alleviate, you know, the harshness of the crime, lest we be judges, lest we be too harsh, and let's attack the guy that was just exposing it. And it's kind of typical to our human nature to want to do that, isn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah, it really is, man. And I think, you know, some of this speaks to, in a weird way, maybe people wanting the NBA to be a world where, you know, these guys can just sort of travel about and have sex with whoever they want. And I mean, this has always sort of been, you know, the undercurrent of the NBA, dating all the way back to Wilt Chamberlain and probably beforehand. And people have always sort of read and been titillated by these stories. And you know, again, now that we're confronted with it almost every day via, you know, social media and these stories breaking a lot more often, it's sort of, it almost seems like people want to defend that. You know, people want to allow that sort of thing to happen.
Well, it almost feels like to me, it's like there's almost this thing where the media is not allowed to go after the fact that he was having sex with other women, but they are allowed to go after the fact that this guy was a tattletale. And that's something that we can sort of tangibly, like, you know, kind of get our claws around. But we're not allowed to judge the morality of the guy that wasn't faithful to his wife, because we've kind of deemed that not to be a moral issue that's really set in stone anymore, right?
Exactly.
It's a moral issue that is set in stone. Like everybody. Besides, like, just the most heinous person would say it's wrong to cheat on your significant other. But it's like a level of wrong that we don't judge. So it's this weird thing where, like, oh, he shouldn't have done that, but we're not going to talk about it. Whereas, like, if he had hit her, then he gets raked over the coals and he'll never be forgiven, because that's a societal wrong now. But sexual infidelity is not. I heard to twist this a little bit and sort of dig in on what you guys are saying. I was listening to a show called The Starters. It's an NBA TV and podcast show where these guys just sort of chit chat about basketball, and they're big fans and have a lot of fun. But they started talking about this, and there was one guy who gave about 5 seconds of sort of, we can't overlook the fact that you know, cheating on your fiance is a big deal. But then the question turns like, would you want to know if you found out your significant other was cheating? Like basically trying to ask, was there any responsibility to tell, or is like the bro code an okay thing and keeping the secret is an okay thing? And like they couldn't answer the question of whether or not it's a friend's responsibility to call out another guy for cheating, or if you just sort of overlook it and be like, well, boys will be boys. And that I think was super indicative of just sort of the societal norm of people are like, I don't think you should be doing that, but I don't think it's my place to say anything. And like that's the whole story.
Right. And that's also go ahead. Well, it's like this, right? It's like we're not even – it's kind of like when you get into an argument with somebody and what they do is they turn it to where they say, I don't like your tone. And after a while now, all we're doing is talking about the way I reacted and my tone. We're not even talking about the thing anymore. And like so what happens with these things is you're not even discussing like what really happened as much as you're discussing the reaction to what really happened.
Yeah.
Well, and everything devolves into this, you know, tawdry kind of tabloid – journalism after a while where this, you know, this NBA podcast turns into The View for a half hour as we discuss like, you know, Nick Young's sexual ethics when in fact, you know, and this is how I feel about this issue and also other issues pertaining to players from eras gone by. And this is going to sound bad, but I just don't care. Like, I don't care who Nick Young is sleeping with. I just want to watch the NBA. And I don't really want to be confronted with the moral off the court or off the field lives of these athletes. I feel like the nonstop coverage of that just sort of cheapens or devalues, you know, my enjoyment of the product, which, you know, really should just be about the basketball.
And which, I mean, they're the Lakers and this year they're not very much fun to watch. So that's also not enjoyable. But, I guess the final question that I would pose to you guys about this is, you know, since people listen to this podcast mostly for humor and entertainment, but occasionally they might want to stumble across something that's worth like a takeaway. If you were in a situation like that where a friend of yours had sort of brought you into their circle of trust, they were abiding by man code, if you will, and they admitted to something like this, like they regularly cheat on their fiance, or they have over time with some consistency. What is your responsibility?
Well, yeah, I mean,
obviously it's not to videotape it and post it because that's a D-bag move. But what is it?
Yeah,
I mean, I think to act as though we're members of the body of Christ and to treat this person like, you know, we would want to be treated as brothers in Christ. So, I mean, I think you confront the sin in the situation and, you know, sort of walk with them through, you know, what it looks like to confess that and repent and, you know, start to live in a better way. I you know, I think for us as Christians, the code obviously is way different, but thankfully we have scripture to give us a sort of roadmap for how to walk through some of these things.
Yeah, good call. I mean, discretion. I mean, we would all use discretion. I mean, you would hope that there would be a level of, you know, generosity in terms of the fact that you would be concerned about not only this person, but who they're connected with and their families. And yeah, and I think, you know, that's getting lost in our era of being able to snitch on a guy like that and then knowing at the same time that's going to bring you attention as well, heighten your platform.
And I think one thing that confrontation is something that if you enjoy it, you're a jerk. And, but if you don't enjoy it, you're probably not doing something you ought to be doing. And this is, I feel like this is one of the situations where the responsibility is to keep a confidence. It's not to air somebody else's dirty laundry. And that aspect of the code, I think is legitimate. You don't go public with somebody else's shame or somebody else's secrets. But if you're a friend, it is your responsibility to try to steer them. And if that means like dragging them kicking and screaming to a better place, then you do that. If it means aggression and getting in their face, you do that. If it means saying, no, you have to go tell your fiance in this case, or I have to go tell her because she deserves to know, that may ruin a friendship. It very likely will, but I still think that's the right thing to do. Like because there's a right and a wrong that supersedes the code.
Indeed. Good stuff, fellas. Speaking of telling, And speaking of sex and making people, there's a trend in the. How's that for a segue, Big R?
Making people. I like that. That was eloquent, Big T.
Dude, yeah. Really anytime eloquent. You can get to yeah. speaking of sex and making people. That's,
guys, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, just a veteran move in radio.
Given the transition, could you define this?
Yeah. What I mean by this is making those radio transitions.
Okay. Just making sure. It was a bit vague, and we were touching on some
matter. That's why they pay us the big bucks here at the Happy Rant. And by that, I mean
not this episode.
Yeah. That's why they used to. Right. That's why we're sponsorless right now. But, boys, what I want to talk about is this huge kind of trend of gender reveal sort of parties, gender reveal, you know, kind of huge things, pregnancy announcements in the church, and this stuff being kind of historically the territory of women, but now like men. So the whole couple is getting pulled into these, you know, these huge kind of productions to reveal the gender of a baby. And I'll be completely honest here in that. Back in the era of like not everybody having a cell phone and having a landline at home, we used to get these calls periodically. And if I was home, I would take the call. And it would be a woman in the church calling for Kristen to give the details of some baby that had been born. And she would talk my ear off for like 5 minutes about how much the baby weighed and how long it was and what color its hair was and what its name was. And honestly, I didn't care to such a degree that Kristen would then come home and she'd be like, did anybody call for me? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, your friend Susie called. So-and-so had their baby. And
oh, what's the name? How big was it? When was it born?
Yeah, what's the name? I don't know. You know, she had the baby. Everybody's healthy. You know, the end. but yeah, now it's this huge deal where there has to be kind of this gigantic celebration of the baby and the baby's gender. And I don't know, man. This just obviously isn't my thing. And I, not that I don't care when people have babies. I do, and I hope everybody's healthy. But beyond that, I really truly don't care. Guys, what's your take on it?
Well, my take is that that's the least surprising TED take I've heard on this podcast. Yeah, is that TED is not geeked up about gender reveal parties. Hey,
T-Way, you mean you don't care about this? I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Ronnie, I feel like as somebody in a church leadership position, you probably
– you have to care at some level.
You have like some sort of either an obligation or a vested interest in these things, whereas Ted and I can be like, no, I'm not interested in releasing pink balloons out of a garbage can on Facebook to show that you're going to have a girl. Like, I don't – but I feel like you have to care. You have an obligation to care.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were 9 babies born last week at our church or something. Wow. in that vicinity. But yeah, I mean, it's another one of these things that I feel
that's
like
a
just
slow week for a Reformed church.
It was a little slow. It was a little slow.
You got to pick that up. I mean,
it was nice. It was nice. We had a couple days off. It was nice. But yeah, the gender reveal parties, and then what about baby moons? You know, we can talk about those too. People going on their baby moon, which is, you know, we got this last moment to take like a vacation before the baby's born. And I think
there's nothing more pleasant than traveling with pregnant women.
because they're always comfortable. Than, like, telling everybody everything about your life, including your vacation.
Well, I mean, it's like, guys,
everyone,
you know,
really cares. You know,
I mean, it's not like you can't ever take another vacation again after your child is born. You know, it's
dude,
just,
right, man. You're just homebound for the next 18 years. Your life is over. It's like house arrest, man. They give you one of those little ankle things.
I feel like that's there's a bit of a conflict there because the people who are doing the baby moon are at the same time they're saying we are about to head into the captivity of being parents.
Yes. Yes.
But they're the same people who are going to throw some like lavish cucumber sandwich party to say that we're about to have a girl, and so they're going into captivity, but also sort of like, hey, let's see if we can get more presents out of going into captivity, and a lot of people will give us, you know, pink stuff for a baby girl. It's a very strange mixed message.
Well, and not everybody not everybody does the gender reveal parties. Like, some people do them. You got to be a little more outgoing and extroverted, I feel,
and
like
crazy.
To do that because you know, you're still going to have, you know, you're still going to have all the baby showers, and you're still, you know, and some people have like upwards of like 6 and 7 baby showers now, so they've multiplied those things. So like it's just this it's kind of this nonstop build up. And I do. I think it's a way to be more celebratory, to get people gathered together, maybe to get more presents.
To
idolize children. And Big T, you wrote a book about that, didn't you? What was that called again?
I did, baby. It was called Household Gods, and it wasn't all about gender reveal parties, but
Was the main point. But yeah, but I think
it was going to be called Gender Reveal Parties, but the publisher went in another direction, as they often do.
Oh, they changed the title like they always do. It's infuriating.
Always.
Yeah.
I think there really is, though, a sense that, I mean, how much can any one person be celebrated? You know, and I know we hit this often on this program, but don't you think at some level it loops back around to just our constant sort of low-level desire for affirmation vis-a-vis social media and likes and follows and, you know, people commenting on our pictures? And, you know, we just constantly, I feel like, have this need to be patted on the back, like, you know, good for you. You created a person, you know, and
to be honest, to create a person requires absolutely no work, and you don't deserve any credit for it.
Yeah, right. Like, and I'm not, a lot of people are doing that.
And it's been done for thousands of years, billions and billions of times. Yeah. Congratulations. You're not a trendsetter. I don't mean to disparage the woman who does the work for 9 months. I mean the actual creation of baby.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something to be really publicized on the one hand, and it's really not that impressive.
I agree. But though, at the same time, I mean, look, let's bring this thing in a little bit. I mean, I've seen it happen for couples that have really – they've struggled. You know what I mean? They finally get pregnant. Maybe it's been years. They're really excited. They're happy. They invite family in. Yeah. And they kind of make it celebratory. I mean, you know, I mean, we can steer this thing too far. It's really not a big deal. I've seen the trend – be really kind of it's kind of a sparing trend. I don't see everybody doing it, but again, it's like, man, we find ways to celebrate and to throw parties for everything.
Don't you love it though nowadays though, when like somebody just has like a low key baby in your church? You know what I mean? Like, somebody just has a baby and it's kind of like almost under the radar. You know,
it's almost like they didn't tell anybody. Like, you didn't even know they had the baby until they show up that morning with the baby.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Man. Exactly. Because
they've been wearing like large jackets for like 9 months.
Yeah, large like billowy jackets, and you know, just keep it.
I mean, I feel like the way these things are supposed to work is at least amongst the guys, is that like you go hang out with your guys, and at some point there's a lull in the conversation. You're like, hey, guess what, guys? We're expecting. Everybody's like, hey, and they slap you on the back, and then they go right back to what they were doing, and then 4 months later you say, hey, guess what, guys? We found out that the baby we're having is a boy. And they're like, hey. And then they go right back to what they were doing. And then 5 months later, the boy is born, and they all bring you, you know, cigars and like little baseball outfits. And that's that.
But why would you want to miss out on cucumber sandwiches, like you just pointed out, Piper? I mean, why do you want to give that up? Like, what's in your water, man, that you want to literally abstain from fruit punch and cucumber sandwiches?
Well, dude, the other weird thing here is,
don't
though,
even have like, an answer.
So many of these families, it's like they're on kid number 8. You know, it's like you've made 8 people. Like, I haven't even had that many. I haven't had that many like mochas this year. You know what
you've
I mean? I've been
made
to Starbucks
8
that
people.
Much.
I love
yeah.
it.
Well, and their pregnancy announcement photo usually is like they line up the kids biggest to smallest, and then there's like a little whiteboard with like a question mark on it or something, or like these kind of things, and you're like, you are acknowledging the fact that you've already done this several times, and we don't need to be that impressed anymore.
Wait, hang on, fellas, let me qualify. Like, I've only seen this happen for firstborns. I don't think I've seen it like with the 8th child. I mean, I don't know yet.
The pregnancy announcement on social media is a must for any child, whether you have had your first. Now, the first, again, there's something more exceptional about that, at least for the family. But like, yeah, once you've had a kid, they're equally unimportant thereafter. I'm a 4th child, so this is not me taking shots at any, you know, I was unimportant when it came to the announcement. Like, it just.
And that's as it should be.
Yeah, it's a thing that happens. Babies are
Barnabas,
born.
Who hurt you, man? I mean, that's kind of.
I have 3 older brothers. Yeah. You can just line them up.
Oh, but, shoot! But you really were hurt. You were
it's
literally
like a counseling
hurt.
Session here now. That's
it really is. I mean, he was literally hurt, like physically hurt.
Can somebody just repeat the phrase "It's not your fault" over and over again while I cry and
we'll
the corner in a Boston accent?
We'll take 10 minutes off the air. Me and T will like take turns we'll shout singing that to you. We'll sing it too. I'll sing it.
I appreciate it.
Big
that.
R, you sing it. I'll shout it.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, boys, let's end with another topic kind of germane to church life. Big R, this was your idea, and it concerns this issue of like sermon series titles. And how cheesy they can be, like, especially I think you mentioned mega churches, but just the idea of sort of having to give a pithy, you know, kind of title to your sermon series. Like it's no longer, you know, good enough. Like if you're John Piper to say that I'm going to be preaching through Romans for 6.5 years, you know, you have to,
like 9
you have to
years.
Call it something. Yeah, 9 years.
Mine was only 9.
Okay. When my dad started preaching through Romans, I was a freshman in high school. When he finished, I was married and had a child.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah, but again, no pithy sermon title. That was just John Piper on Romans.
Now, if he were to put a pithy sermon title on that, like what would it have been?
The glory of Christ and the unmeasured value of
dude. Yeah, like one of these
election in the forbearance of God's justice and the
like. I love how John Piper's son comes out, like has no idea, just starts talking about glory and election, like we'd all do, making up a title for it. I love that.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's it would either be puritanical or it would look just like one of his book titles.
Right. Totally.
Desirable.
Yeah, I just – so here's the deal. So I just – it's something that I complained to Melissa, Big M, my wife. Yeah. I complain about it quite a bit because it feels like – and it's not just a mega church. It's almost like we have to come up with these lowest common denominator like comic book titles for our sermon series as if we just think that everybody is the biggest idiot that's ever been alive. So I'm running across this one church – and we're starting our new sermon series, Honey, I Shrunk the Church. It's like, why? Like, why do we have to – like, why do you have to call it that? And then there, my favorite one was this one I saw called Help, Here Comes the Offering Plate. It's like – I mean, you know what I mean? Or, you know, it's like love them all and let God sort them out. You know what I mean? Like, why does everything have to be just like the goofiest, just silliest?
I think it's sort of a – it's like a – a trigger warning almost like, hey, we're going to touch on something that might make you a little uncomfortable. You know, we got to reach for that wallet. So let's make a joke about the offering plate. I do think the other thing is if you can ever make an early 90s family friendly movie reference in your sermon title, you have to do it. I think it's a rule.
Yeah.
Have you watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids lately? Pipe with your kids.
Negative. That's not – is that one of the rules too? Was I supposed to do that?
I mean how bad is Big T? How bad is that thing going back to it?
Dude, you know what, man? I'm actually going to take it in a different direction. It held up for me. That's the
No,
crazy.
Stop.
Yeah. And I think it held up because Rick Moranis hasn't been sort of – he hasn't been trotted out at all since the 90s. Like he just kind of disappeared. So
he's still alive.
Yeah, he hasn't done like retrospectives or like, you know, return engagements on any shows or anything. So it was actually like truly quantifiably charming to see Rick Moranis again. And then like –
all right, charming works.
Dude, yeah. The visual effects were so bad when the kids were tiny and like walking around in the yard. It was just like it charmed me.
It was like they had just invented green screen kind of a thing.
They had just invented green screen, and it might have been even pre-green screen because it looked like a lot of these like set pieces.
They were
just,
large styrofoam pieces of grass.
They were large like pieces of plastic and styrofoam, and it was just it was kind of awesome.
I guess my point is that I don't really understand this whole idea about insulting your audience or in the case of, you know, churches insulting your congregation. It's like if you're doing, you know, if you're doing a series that's going to be touching primarily on the Holy Spirit, you don't have to call it like Holy Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? Like we don't need to do that. Like that's not something that's going to draw people in and make it more understandable or palatable for them. It's like but I think there's this trend now and it seems to go in the direction of churches that are a lot bigger and they're pulling more people in and they would be what we would call, you know, more seeker, you know, friendly, that they just kind of tend to steer in that direction. And it's just baffling to me.
Now, Pipe, what's the marketing theory behind that, man? Is there anything in the marketing world that suggests that if you treat your audience like they're really, really stupid, they'll like you more?
That's a good question.
Yes, there is. There's,
really?
The marketing philosophy is don't make me think.
I see.
If you can title a book or pitch a product or whatever, and it's and you don't make me think, you just make people feel happy right off the bat, that's there's a lot of success in that. Which is why, like, in titling books, that's why you see almost no creative book titles.
Dude, that's true, and that's why they change every title that's so money that we've ever sort of submitted
right,
as writers.
Because if you put something in there that's a play on words, it's witty, it's a cultural, it's sort of a vague reference to something else, it doesn't work. The reference has to be so obvious that it's almost like it's like you're explaining the joke in the title or something like, you know, no metaphors, no none of that. unless the metaphor involves a river. Rivers are always acceptable in the Christian book world.
Absolutely.
So baffling.
So don't make me think is part of it. But the I think the other thing is that you need to have a theme so that there can be everything can stay on brand. Everything can be visually represented. So like if we're gonna do a sermon series like this, we're gonna do postcards, we gotta have a little splash page on the website, we gotta have videos, little preview videos, we gotta have all these different things. And there has to be something that you can sort of create a theme that runs throughout it for aesthetics and storyline and all these things. And I think that's where it comes from, because I think the pastors have bought into that, but that started with whoever was the person at that church or the church at whole as a whole who said we need to market ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference between sharing what you do and marketing what you do. There's a big difference between communicating the message of your church and marketing your church. And those kind of ridiculous titles it's a pure marketing ploy, as opposed to, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Our pastor's talking through 1 John and it says a lot of stuff that might be helpful. Like that's
so you're a marketing guy, man. How do you feel about churches doing like some type of marketing intentionally or some level of marketing? What's your take on that?
And define marketing too, like give an example of marketing.
Well, okay, so here's a really interesting one, and this may be a separate conversation, but let's run with it now. So Easter just passed, last episode, we were talking about the ridiculous things that churches do for Easter with the helicopter drops and whatever. Got some really fun feedback on that one. People like that. I had one guy who came up laughing and said, I used to be that pastor. So he's a recovering Easter egg dropper.
Helicopter dropper.
He said he's never dropped boots, though. But there are a lot of churches. I even saw a blog post about this. Like, hey, what's the best way to market your church using Facebook advertising?
Yeah.
Here's the thing: the means is not the problem. So whether it's mailing out postcards to everybody in your zip code, whether it's using Facebook advertising, the question is: are you inviting them, or are you pitching yourself? Because those are two very different things. Are you letting them know where you are, when they can be there? Because some of those hurdles are the simplest things to get people to come to your church. Like, hey, did you know we meet in this school gym at 9 a.m.? Oh, you didn't? Well, that's where we are. We'd love to have you. Hurdle, you know, they get over that hurdle because now they know where to go. So but marketing is when you're being cute, I think, and you're almost misrepresenting what actually happens. Or you're selling the wrong things. You're selling the image as opposed to the substance. And I think that's at least when it comes to churches, that's where things go awry. I think it's good for churches to communicate, to say, hey, we want you to come and we're going to try to spread our reach. But to do so in like a cute way where they're Honey, I Shrunk the Pulpit or whatever it was, that stuff is like that's not – that's selling humor. That's not selling something that matters.
Yeah. Wow. That's Big T. Can I just say this? And I think you're going to agree with me when I say that Barnabas Piper is so much smarter than me and you that I don't even know how to, even know how to come back from that. You know, from his book reviews to his marketing tips, I just feel like I'm speechless at this point.
Maybe that's really interesting. And do you say that from a position of
I mean, you didn't agree with him, Ted.
Yeah, you know what? I'm keeping it really neutral right now. But I'm trying to do here, Barnabas? I'm trying to minister to my friend a little bit. I'm trying to counsel Big R because I feel like he was vulnerable with us there for a minute.
Vulnerable.
Big R's a guy who he likes to keep it close to the vest and, you know, likes to maintain control. But I think maybe you have some healing that you need to begin.
You know what? I mean, you say I keep it close to the vest, but you obviously have not read my latest article on the Gospel Coalition, which does not keep it very close to the vest. So with that,
David, you've got a Chico article, man. That's huge. I like how you worked that in.
Yeah, that's product placement right there.
Slid it in.
That's product placement, and it's also
which
a way
I just
to,
learned how I just learned how to do that. I just learned how to do that. Yeah,
to market yourself while also kind of boosting your self esteem. So, baby, I'm going to GECO right now.
I am Pastor Kanye West by Ronald J. Martin.
Wait, what's the piece called?
It's called I Am Pastor Kanye West.
Oh, I see what you did, man.
Yeah,
you
can already guess where I'm going with that.
Dude, now
it's a heartbreak.
Are the conference invitations just raining on you right now? I mean, is it such that you need to get off the taping so that you can just kind of cull through all the invitations and all the publisher queries and all that that's coming your way because of this, man?
Yeah, I
because
mean,
as
this,
we
this
know,
40, this 40 minutes is just, I mean, literally my inbox is just, it's going to take me hours now.
The issue that he's running into is that that conference circuit that he's most plugged into, there's only like 4% of people who actually know who Kanye West is.
It's
baby,
true.
I'm looking at this thing though, and you did everything right here, GECO wise. We got lots of subtitles. We got a numbered list. This is GECO, vintage GECO right here.
I appreciate the affirmation, you know. And again, I learned how to market myself on the program because I just heard Barnabas Piper go through those tips, which were really helpful. So thank you, Piper.
Absolutely.
And to your point, Big R, I agree that Barnabas is markedly smarter than the two of us. But you know, I am just happy to be here. I'm grateful to be the kind of the facilitator, the point guard, the Nick Young, if you will, of the podcast.
Are you the Nick Young? Okay, let's talk about who we are on the podcast.
If we were NBA players?
If you're the Nick Young, what does
that
make Pipe?
Here's the thing. Nick Young is a guy who's never seen a shot he doesn't like.
I know. I'm not the Nick Young.
He passes the ball like 4 times a game.
All right, exactly. I'm already lost. I don't even know what you're talking about now. We got to get into the realm of something I actually understand.
Dude, no, I want to stay in the NBA.
Ted is the bass player, Ronnie. Ted is the bass player.
Dude, I'm the bass player, meaning I'm the fat, like, low center of gravity, like, gumpy one. No, I don't want to be the bass player.
No, you're like the chill, disaffected one.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Well,
maybe
I mean,
the drummer?
There's a sense where you almost have to be the lead guy because you host it. You know, you lead off.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The bass line drives the song, though, doesn't it? Like, you lose the bass line and the whole song goes out of whack. I mean, that's sort of Ted's role. Like, you still
have a drummer. He's going to keep it. He's going to keep that thing rolling, Piper.
Is Ted the drummer then?
No, well, if the drummer leads, you're right. When the drummer leads, starts the song, intros the song, sure. This is just not – let's go back to the NBA.
You're being patronizing to me right now. But I don't
even know what I'm talking about with the music thing. I don't. Yeah.
All right. So NBA-wise, and Big R, we can go back to like the 80s Showtime Lakers roster if you're more comfortable with that.
Yeah, give me a little Magic Johnson and Kareem and Kurt, you know. Yeah.
So, Pipe, who are you? If we're working with 80s NBA personalities, who do you equate your radio style to?
Larry Bird.
Wow. talk about going right to the top.
Yep,
he knows how to market himself.
There's not the best because, you know, there were better players, just not very many. And very brash, known for trash talking.
Yeah, a good trash talking white guy. And pretty, people don't realize that.
Not the most dynamic out there. You know, he had all the hops that I currently actually have. You know, I think he dunked like 4 times in his NBA career.
Exactly.
But just he was in the right place at the right time. Great playmaker. Really good team basketball player. Like, just made everybody around him better.
Man, I appreciate the humility about the dunking. That was good for me.
Yeah.
Do you have a barely discernible, like, mustache a la Larry Bird?
Any mustache I tried to grow would be barely discernible. So, yes.
So you have that in common as well. Big R, what about you? 80s basketball
person. I mean, I don't know. Who was the power forward for the Lakers at that
time? James Worthy.
James Worthy. How about we roll with that?
James Worthy was a sneaky good player, kind of an underappreciated guy.
Yeah, not all super right, publicized, not the like upfront guy talking all the time.
Freaky athletic and could do more than he was given credit for. Like if he had played on a mediocre team, he would have been the star. But because he played on the Lakers, he was their third or fourth best player.
I mean, I already hate being James Worthy, but I'm going to go with Jimmy. I'm going to roll with your description.
They would not have won their titles without him.
Why do you hate being Jim Worthy? Who do you want to be?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be Magic Johnson. You know, obviously, I'm not going to fit into that mold. Give me somebody else from that dream team.
Dude, we have a little
Byron Scott.
Byron Scott, a little Michael Cooper, a little.
I remember Byron.
Kurt Rambis.
He was a guy who, like, very publicly didn't have sex for a super long time.
No, that was AC Green. AC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
that's
a
right.
Yeah.
AC I think he Green. Came. Did he come a little bit later, though?
He did. Yeah. He was a little bit later.
Wow.
What about Ronnie, are you the one who very publicly doesn't have sex? Or do you just not have sex publicly? I can never get the two straight.
I'm gonna have to move on from that one to
be. They're waiting. True love waits. It's been married 30 years.
You can stop waiting anytime. You're married. It's okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the permission.
Boys, I'm gonna go with Bill Laimbeer from the
very nice.
Yeah. Big, physical, could be somewhat abrasive, kind of a curmudgeon. But if you love the Pistons, you love Bill Laimbeer.
Is he old school?
Yeah, he's old school,
he was
man.
Like 80s, early 90s. He was one of the guys who made like Michael Jordan's life a living hell for 7 years until Jordan decided to start lifting weights because he was just getting the crap beat out of him.
That's right.
By Laimbeer and others.
Okay. But he didn't play on the same team as Jordan.
No, he was a Piston.
Okay. And Jordan was a...
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on, baby.
I can't remember.
Dude, I'm going to give you a hint on the uniform colors, red and black, okay?
I'm just blanking out, boys. I'm not trying to be facetious.
It's a male cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big R, Jordan.
They weren't called
the male...
The Bulls, there it is, boom. Okay, we're in.
Well done. Just took a couple hints.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Guys, how about we do a little how about we do a little promo for our live broadcast? Let's throw that out there a little bit. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it. We haven't talked about that in a while, but there was some traction on Twitter. There was some dialogue about bringing the three of us together in some venue so that we could tape some episodes live. So that we could have some interaction with our fan base, as it were, so that we could do some marketing for ourselves.
Did we have rumors of a particular event we could tie this to, possibly in the fall? Is that what I recall?
So what we're thinking is, and this is for all you listeners out there, we're thinking of November, early November in Louisville, Kentucky. Right around the time of the Sojourn National Conference, maybe we can put something together.
Are hipster church planters. For those of you who don't know,
yeah, lots of beards, beer oil, and Red Wings are going to be.
Baby,
I looked at
the Sojourn website a couple days ago. It's literally a shrine to hipsterness. It's amazing.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a virtual shrine. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the plan. So that's something maybe we can pull together and people can kind of engage around that time. And if we get a little more info as we lead into it, maybe we can set something up or somebody's already in the Louisville area. And I know I'm saying Louisville wrong, so don't get on me about that. But,
how do you say it? Barnabas, what's the correct pronunciation?
Like Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah, that's it. Louisville.
Is it even the I though? Is there still an I in there? I always feel like they say
no. You're overemphasizing the I, Big R. It's just Louisville.
It depends on the further south you go and the thicker your accent is, the more it sounds like you're just swallowing the word.
You're saying Louisville, like Louisville.
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 You just keep saying the I though. I don't know if you're supposed to say the I.
Well, exactly, because I don't have a true southern accent. I can fake it, but no. Like otherwise, you just sort of say Louisville. You sort of swallow all the vowels.
Yeah, exactly. We sound like Kanye trying to say Louisville.
You know what though, guys? We're burying the lead here because really what we're after is somebody to put up some cashish to bring us to Louisville and to make this thing happen, man, to make this live Happy Rant event happen in conjunction with this huge
October,
hipster
Olympics. hipster church planters, Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, that's what I like. And guess what? I think, guys, we can safely say that we'd be willing and have the time to do, what, four episodes? A month's worth of episodes?
Perhaps, baby. Yeah. I like it.
I bet we could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I bet we could come up with some different things that we could try beyond just, you know, the topical stuff. So fielding questions, little audience interaction.
Love a little audience Q&A, man. That's,
you know, we'll do an audience Q&A for sure.
So yeah. So for listeners, if we're going to chase this down, we'll take a little bit of a risk, but we need to know if you guys are interested. So hit us up on Twitter. That's at Happy Rant Pod, or Facebook. You can find us there, or email us if you're somebody who is likes that. It's happyrantpodcast@gmail.com. Just let us know if that's something that you would be interested in coming to for an evening or something like that. And that will help us know if it's something we should try to pull off.
Fellas, I love it. I love Big R that you brought that up again, man. That had slipped my mind. So thank you for that.
Of course.
Guys, we have done what we always do, which is wander to and fro, comparing ourselves to NBA players along the way. And it's been fun. So fellas, until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.